This is Steve Sherlock on another Franklin Matters radio show, number 458 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, February 9, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a virtual format. All of the school committee members, central office personnel, along with the public, were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the just over 2 hour and 20 minute meeting into three logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the Annie Sullivan presentation, approximately 41 minutes. The second, covering the discussion action items, specifically referred to the Davis Thayer closing discussion and vote, approximately 43 minutes. The third, from the discussion only items through to the end of the meeting, approximately 59 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder will hold all the other documents released for this meeting. And note, as we go to press, the superintendent's report nor the pool testing outline are yet posted to the school's website. We anticipate that to be soon, but it's not here as we go to press. Let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of February 9, 2021.
The time being 7 o'clock p.m., I call to order the February 9, 2021 meeting of the Franklin School Committee. These meetings are being recorded by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. Just going to read our little message from the governor because he asked that we read it at every meeting. So here goes. Per Governor Baker's executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, Chapter 38, Section 20, the public will not be allowed to physically access this school committee meeting. Members of the public can access the meeting via remote conference. The school committee reserves the right to implement additional remote participation procedures and will notify the public of these procedures as soon as practicable. And I would just ask if anyone's listening in on Zoom, if you could just mute, just because the voices and things get picked up in the background. So that would be greatly appreciated. And at this time, I am just going to take a quick roll call attendance for school committee. Jennifer D'Angelo. All right, I'll come back. Tim Keenan. Judith Ponfeffer.
Here.
MJ Schofield.
I'm here.
Denise Spencer.
Here.
Elise Stokes.
Here.
And Ann Bergen. Here. All righty. And is our custom, we always begin every meeting by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and we have a very, very special guest here from Annie Sullivan Middle School who's going to lead us in the pledge, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Noah Gorgas. The students selected to represent Annie Sullivan Middle School and lead the Pledge of Allegiance at this evening's school committee meeting is Noah Gorgas. Noah is an eighth grader on Team Atticus. He exemplifies the Annie Sullivan Middle School mission statement of personal growth, academic standards, and building a positive sense of community and culture within the school. At school, Noah enjoys social studies and art classes as he hopes to study architectural design or government politics at the college level. He hopes to attend Cornell or Harvard upon graduation from Franklin High School. He is a well-rounded student and greatly respected at Annie Sullivan. He is kind to his peers, respectful of teachers, and he sets a good example for other students. This year, Noah has been selected as our student ambassador for the town of Franklin with Project 351. Project 351 is a nonprofit organization focused on developing young leaders through a service learning, hands-on, community building, and values-based leadership training. Noah will join eighth graders throughout the Commonwealth in a service leadership academy and will then participate in the Cradles to Crayons project. We are excited to support Noah in this journey and would love to attend a future school committee meeting to discuss his journey through Project 351. We would love to hear about that. So Noah, I'm gonna ask if you wouldn't mind leading us. We're just gonna wait till we get our flag up there and we'll let Noah get us going on the Pledge of Allegiance.
Can you see the flag?
Yes, there it is. All right, Noah, are you ready? Here we go.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic
which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Noah, thank you. We really appreciate it. We're really proud of you, and you certainly represent the town of Franklin, your school, and your family. And we're in a very fine way. We're very proud of you. Thanks, Noah. Looking forward to having you come and maybe tell us more about Project 351. All right, as we proceed, I'd like to stop for, as is customary, if we could just stop for a moment of silence. Thank you. Okay, routine business. Review of agenda. Look okay, school committee?
Looks okay.
Okay, sounds good. Citizens' comments at this time. If there's anyone who wishes to speak to an item that is an issue that is not on the agenda, if you would like to speak. I don't see anyone, and I do see Jen D'Angelo is here and Tim Keenan. Just want to make sure I check you off on our roll call. All right, moving right along, we go to Franklin High School student representative comments. Do we have some high school representatives here? It's very difficult for me to see.
We do. I saw Katie and McKenzie
on
the list.
Excellent. I don't know who wants to go first.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. Hi, everyone. I'm Katie. I'm one of the senior representatives at Franklin High School. And so in some news at the high school we have going on right now, this has been the first week of the semester two classes. So a lot of students have changed their electives. The seniors switched over to their choice English elective, which has been met with some very positive feedback. So we're excited for our final semester at FHS. In some other senior news, cap and gown orders have been extended to go till the end of this week. So any seniors looking for that, they have until Friday. We also had a senior class assembly last week discussing some of the details for prom and graduation and some senior week events. So a lot of exciting stuff happening, all following COVID restrictions, but we're very excited to see what we can do for the end of the year. In some other news of the high school, picture day is tomorrow, and that's going from 8:30 to 3:30. So any students that need to, that's available. Also, a new club has been started at Franklin High School. It's run by two freshmen. It's called Book Club. And so they plan on focusing through diversity through reading, and they're going to be doing different books, different discussions. So we're very excited to see how that plays out. Also, for another academic thing at the high school, National Honor Society is now offering their tutoring. I think this was mentioned a little bit at the last meeting. But it's still going on, especially with that second semester coming in. Many students that are in need of tutoring, if anyone reaches out to their guidance counselor, that's available. And we're available during direct studies and after school. And then in some final news, the fall 2 season for sports was approved by the MIAA. And that season will begin on the 22nd. And so that's football, cheerleading, volleyball, and indoor track. And that's going to go up until April. And so for any students looking, registration is open on family ID till I believe the 18th. So anyone interested in that, that's open right now. And we're very excited to see how that plays out.
Excellent. Katie, I was just going to ask as a follow-up, if you think of it, no big deal, but maybe finding out some of the titles that the Diversity Club is reading and maybe sharing those at one of the meetings, I think it'd be kind of neat for the community to see the books, and maybe some people in the community could be reading some of those same books. I think that would be really kind of interesting. If you think of it, maybe one of the next meetings.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be more than happy to reach out to the book club and see if they have anything that they'd want to share with us as well.
Great. Thanks, Katie. Any other high school comments?
Hi. I'm Mackenzie.
Oh, Mackenzie.
So Katie basically got most of it. Something else I'd like to add is that the FHS Theater Company is beginning to work on their senior-directed one-act plays. So we have four seniors that are going to be directing their own individual one-act plays. So there's Bridget Flaherty, who is doing an identity play, Ben Fine, who's directing Frankenstein, Amanda Melvin is doing a monologue play called What Happens in Neverland Stays in Neverland, and Max Allard is directing a one-act play called The Nine Worst Breakups of All Time. So rehearsals have started for that this week, and it's much smaller casts, so it's much better for COVID guidelines and everything. And that's set to, performances are set to be for live stream in March. And also, like Katie said, semester two is started, and I think teachers have until Thursday to submit grades, but from what I've heard, everyone's excited to get a little change of scenery with their semester two classes, and I also think everyone is very excited for February break.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Excellent. Okay. Dr. Hearn, superintendent's report.
Sure, I have a few things to share with you and the community this evening. The first one is I wanted to share a bit of information about a new group of committed members in the Franklin community called the Franklin Freedom Team. It is a group that is joining the latest Freedom Team network. The Franklin Freedom Team has a mission to preserve freedom through unity in the community. And the team is reactive, proactive, and retroactive in assessing and addressing hate and bias. Freedom teams have been meeting this mission in Natick, Waltham, and Hopkinton, and there is a group coming together in Franklin. The team meets monthly, as well as necessary when matters come up. And membership is based on the community's 10-point connection, meaning that it involves parents, students, a connection to the education network, so that would be the Franklin Public Schools, a political representative, the chief of police, a trauma-informed clinician, a member of the clergy, a restorative, transformative justice facilitator, and a social media expert. So I've been participating in the organizational meetings on behalf of the district and look forward to our continued work with this team. Excellent people who are contributing to this mission. So I look forward to sharing more updates with you as well as the entire Franklin Public Schools with the work of the Freedom Team. I wanted to also mention something about the fall two season with the athletics department. And I'm glad that the student representatives brought it up. We also will have unified basketball as part of the fall two season, in addition to the sports that were listed. A number of us attended some professional development recently, and I wanted to share it with the school committee. The Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents typically hosts two sessions in this time of year. One is typically in January, one is typically in March, but this year they were both in January. The first was the Midwinter Conference on January 21st. The Assistant Superintendents Lucas and Joyce and I attended the presentation where there was a keynote address by Dr. Mark Brackett of Yale University with the School of Social Emotional Learning. Dr. Brackett discussed the mental health of superintendents and leadership teams and how feelings can reverberate through a school system. We learned about some of his major principles from his book, Permission to Feel, and you may see some of his tools. Our offices aren't open to the public, but if you are up on the third floor, you may see some of his tools hanging around the office in response to some of the new learning that we had. And we also had several female leaders in the district attend the MASS Women's Education Leadership Network, which is an annual event that was established 15 years ago to meet specific professional development needs of female superintendents, other female leaders in the district, as well as aspiring female leaders. And the focus on this conference was on authentic leadership, women leaders navigating turbulent times. And 11 of us engaged in two professional development sessions, also focused on our well-being and behavioral health. The first was by Julie Jungawala, who is formerly, last name is Wilson, who is the founder and director of the Institute of the Future of Learning. And her presentation was titled Authentic Leadership and the Hero's Journey. And we had a workshop style exercise with Rebecca Arnold, who is a professional coach, on nourishing the courageous leader. And she asked us in some small groups, which was really nice to connect with some other leaders in other districts in some breakout sessions, to commit to some changes we would take to nourish our souls. Instead of adding something to my plate, I chose to stop doing something to nourish my soul and instead swap it out with something on my commute to give me a little bit of a breather to and from work. And we're going to have a follow-up with the Franklin Public Schools attendees in a meeting after February break, where we will debrief and reflect, and then we will share our broader insights, our insights with the broader leadership team at a subsequent administrative team meeting this spring. And the last thing that I wanted to note is that I want to congratulate several Franklin High School art students who received recognition in the last few weeks. And this is from Mrs. Johnson's classroom. And notably, all the artwork that being recognized this year's award cycle was made at home in the remote setting and is really just truly amazing. So we have four Scholastic Art and Writing Awards, Morgantown Junior Gold Key for Ceramic Teapot. And I'm sorry if I mispronounce names. Emily Sisa, Junior Honorable Mention for a Ceramic Teapot. Elizabeth Tang, Junior with an Honorable Mention for a Still Life Painting. Elaine Poo, Senior Honorable Mention with a Self-Portrait. And then we also had three students recognized at the Massachusetts Amazing Emergent Artist Recognitions Exhibit, which is a juried exhibition, 150 submissions and 90 acceptances. It includes Katie Sawyer, a sophomore with her teapot set, Millie Chalk, a junior with a metallic teapot, and Kashish Singh, a senior with a Reku fired organic form. So to congratulations to those seven award-winning artists.
That is, Sarah?
That is it.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know any follow-up school committee? Okay, no, very good. Moving right along, Dr. Hearn, guest presentations.
Yes, so continuing with our acknowledgements and celebrations of some of the excellent things that are happening in our schools this year, we are doing a spotlight and a highlight at the Annie Sullivan Middle School. We are joined by Elizabeth Morrison, or Lizzie Morrison, the principal, and Mike Procasini, who is the assistant principal, and they have a brief presentation to share a day in the life at Annie Sullivan. Welcome, Lizzie and Mike.
Thank you, Dr. Hearn. We are very excited to be here with you. Mr. Procasini is going to share his screen. We put together some images for you all to see what it's like at Annie Sullivan. So thank you for having us. Our teachers are spending countless hours preparing, planning, and rethinking ways to most effectively teach our students. Our students are showing resiliency and dedication, taking ownership of their learning and meeting our expectations. And our parents are collaborating with us and also learning so much about their child's learning styles. We're truly approaching each day and each student as a team approach. Annie Sullivan, like was mentioned in Noah's introduction, has four pillars: our mission statement of academic excellence, culture, community, and personal growth. One thing that we had to adapt is our mission card program in this hybrid learning environment. Instead of students coming to the office to drop off a mission card ticket into our fishbowl, the teachers and parents have been acknowledging and recognizing when students are exemplifying one of these standards and notifying our school secretary, Ms. Ramos, and she's keeping track of the earned mission cards throughout the month. And we have a random drawing and students earn gift cards that our PCC has graciously provided for us. We're proud to still be able to honor traditions like this and thinking outside the box to collaborate with all stakeholders and really celebrate our amazing students.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. I just need to share with sound for a second here. All right. So as Mrs. Morrison had said, we're gonna take you through a day at Annie Sullivan. There are obviously pictures and examples from various days, but we're gonna try to cram in within about 15 minutes. And the starting point for that is arrival.
We could go backwards, but we'll starting at the beginning. Yes, so at arrival, it really is a team approach. We have Mr. Akovic outside waving cars, Mr. Donnelly is manning the crosswalk, and we greet students, getting them off the bus, enforcing the 6 feet of distance, Our parents have been wonderful about following our expectations for drop-off. We have it down to a science where we're able to get about half of our students into the building on each cohort day in about 10 minutes, which is, we were nervous at the beginning of the year, but it's working out really well. We have Mrs. Corsi, who greets the students in the morning and offers breakfast and takes lunch orders. Couldn't do what we are doing without her. And it's really wonderful to see the students coming into the building. Starting the year virtual, we were able to set a good foundation, but having students in front of us is really what makes it so meaningful. And a huge thank you to our custodial staff, especially on these snowy mornings, keeping our sidewalks clean and safe for students and staff. And as always, Mrs. Daly, our school nurse, her attention to detail, always there in the morning, never know what's going to arrive in the office first thing, and she's always there with a smile on her face to help our students. So upon entry to the school, our students wash and sanitize their hands. They arrive in first period class. We gather together, either in the classrooms or virtually, for our morning announcement. And Mr. Procaccini has persuaded me we're going to show a little bit of our morning announcement. You can get an understanding of how we start our day every day.
Yeah, I think you all will really enjoy this. I think the best thing about our morning announcements is it's really established a sense of community and connection for both groups of students. It's light, and we try to make it, you know, engaging and give some student voice as well. So you can see on this slide some of the elements, but I'm going to take you through portions of, I think it was last Friday's morning announcements, and I hope you enjoy. I'll try to narrate too a little bit as we do that. All right, can everyone see this part of the screen? Okay, awesome. So really the beginning, you know, we're out at arrival and we have a timer set up, and then we get back in the offices and we just say hello.
All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mr. Morrison.
And then we play the national anthem, and we have a rotating set of clips from our music teachers. This is Mrs. Lakota. From there, we transition. Let me get this part of the screen out of the way. We transition to Mrs. Morrison comes up with basically what makes that particular day unique. Friday, it was Super Bowl Sunday coming up for the weekend. So this is kind of where we have some small talk to have a little bit of fun.
Awesome. I have to say, Mrs. Zogby, your famous dip is one of my go-tos. So I will definitely be making that this weekend.
Here too. And Mr. Procaccini, I saw somewhere on Pinterest, wherever, a French fry charcuterie board with lots of different dips and different kind of cuts. So I'm going to send that to you.
Awesome. And who's going to win? What's everyone's picks?
I'm going to pick. I want the Chiefs to win. That's my pick.
Mrs. Morrison?
I'd have to go with Tampa Bay.
Zogby?
Agreed.
No
Tampa
one?
Bay. Tampa Bay.
I don't know if I can be on Brady's side anymore.
Happy birthday to Rebecca.
And then we have birthdays every single day, even if it's the weekend. We'll make sure we include those weekend birthdays. Noah actually came on this announcement, on this set of announcements, to talk about student council, bracket competition
Rebecca, going on. Hope you all have wonderful days. All right, Noah, tell us about the last day of the Spirit Week.
Yeah, so today is Dress Like a Teacher Day. And we're going to be checking in at the beginning of Flex, so make sure to be there. And also, as some people probably have realized,
and we are also able to kind of bring out things that are happening in the community or try to gather some support from the community. So we have the food drive right now for the Franklin Food Pantry up there. And then one of our last segments is the morning howl. And we present a question every day to students. Sometimes it's a would you rather question, sometimes it's like a this or that, pick a quote that resonates with you. We try to build in some social emotional learning connections. This one was led by our guidance counselor, Ms. Giambanco. You can take a look at that.
Morning, Howell.
Yes, so this one's a fun one, I think. If you were tasked with making school more fun, but it still had to be effective at teaching students, what would you change and why?
And then the following day, we always go back and we pull out some student responses because there's a Google form that's posted on our landing page, which is right here. This is how students access really everything they need. They have the link to the morning announcements right there. They have a help meet that connects them with our school secretary, Ms. Ramos. There's a student services Google Classroom page, schedules, bathroom sign out, technical support. And then our second page is where that morning howl exists. So if you take a look, you know, tomorrow's question is contains two different quotes from some young activists, and students just pick, and then they have an opportunity to share their reasoning. So that's a nice way to build connection and get some student voice on our morning announcements.
Great, thank you for that. So to take you through what our classrooms are looking like, starting in sixth grade, we have one team of sixth grade teachers with a special education liaison and educational support professionals. And they really have worked to create a classroom culture with each cohort. The students travel throughout the entire day together, and they have taken on different personalities and have formed relationships that they may not have formed with their peers. So this is Mrs. Welshoff teaching students virtually from her computer while also having the students in person. We have scheduled material and supply distributions for our virtual students to access materials. So novels are sent home, art supplies, math graphing paper, whatever students would need if they were in the building to access the curriculum, we schedule times for those supplies to be picked up. And then additionally, our ESPs are really taking on responsibilities and supporting students throughout the day and even monitoring classrooms for teachers who are working remotely. And we have fun hat days the sixth grade has put together, some spirit days we'll talk about a little bit later. And in an attempt to create some collaboration or connection to the curriculum in the real world, our sixth graders had a wonderful opportunity to see this connection through a presentation that Mr. Procaccini will talk about.
So we were lucky to have a community member reach out, and they had a connection with a professor over at MIT, Carrie Cahoy. And at that time, we were also learning about astronomy in sixth grade. So she was able to visit Flex, and both groups had the same experience. She joined a meet, and she talked about space exploration. She actually makes miniature cube satellites that get sent out into space, and they look for exoplanets. This was a really nice treat for our sixth graders. It added an additional layer of engagement into the curriculum.
Great. Another thing our sixth grade team is doing, as we know, social emotional learning is a huge focus for the district and for our school. And now more than ever, we need to be attuned to how our students are feeling, especially if we don't see them in class every day. So first academic period every day, every sixth grader completes this Google form. And it's just a self-awareness check-in with a simple question, their name, how they're feeling. I'm fabulous, I'm pretty good, I'm so-so, or I'm really struggling. And those results are viewed by the teachers throughout the day to be able to check in. Even if a student just says, you know, I'm tired, or I didn't get much sleep last night, I didn't get to get all of my homework done, the teachers are able to have an idea of how their day is starting. And also then celebrate at the end of the day if they identified as I'm so-so or I'm really struggling, to be able to say, look how your days turned out and what coping skills did you use throughout the day to be able to turn this day around. And it color codes for the teachers to be able to pull out green, yellow, or red. And it also really helps to connect with our virtual students because we do have students who are home and our teachers, you know, like I said, are not able to get eyes on them as much as if they were in the building. And now we'll transition to seventh grade.
So we have some seventh grade photos here. And some of these speak to me real strongly, in particular, Mr. Kelly, our seventh grade science teacher. This picture says a lot about how we create that learning experience for both groups of students. His setup there on the board, he's showing the meat to the students that are in person. Again, an opportunity to establish some connection. He's able to demonstrate hands-on science experiments or demonstrations right there with his web camera, move it around, show the remote students, the in-person students. So there's really a lot of flexibility there with that type of setup, and our teachers have done a really good job with that, not just Mr. Kelly. You can see in the hallway there, even despite being distanced, those students are still collaborating with each other, and they could be on a meet with students at home as well. And then we have some students there in computer class, most likely working on some coding. And then some additional photos from seventh grade. We have hands-on science still happening in our classrooms. We have Quizlet Live happening in our classrooms. Mrs. Tunula there is able to make this work again for both groups of students. And then we have some students working on strength and flexibility, and they're doing the tree yoga pose and having some fun with that. That was a good experience to get into that classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mrs. Morrison, we are going to eighth grade.
Yeah, so I think to continue on, our students are actively involved. They are working on the screen while in the building and also having some time to disconnect and do hands-on learning experiences. Many of our teachers selected a focus on technology for their SMART goals this year and are really learning about different applications or resources to be able to use. One thing that we can celebrate is with the technology they're using, they're really able to provide real-time feedback to students, especially in English or math or really on any Google document, which is able, the students are then able to implement and either increase their understanding or their skill development. We did survey our virtual families and were able to share a lot of positives about the quality of instruction from their perspective, that students have a little bit more time to complete work or to have time for themselves without traveling to and from school. And they really appreciate the support of our teachers and how they're engaging with the students virtually. Some challenges that we're still seeing are distractions at home, or students are really craving social interactions with their peers because they're not in the building. Some technology challenges that I think we all face living in this environment, and really just missing these hands-on learning experiences.
Yeah.
And some more eighth graders. We have in E class more individual sports. So here we have frisbee, there's tennis, yoga, the bag toss game, so where they can just really contain their own equipment.
Then the next thing we want to highlight is the eighth grade civics project. This really, I think, has come at the perfect time. More than ever, students need an opportunity to apply their learning in a real world context. You can see on the left side of the slide, these are some overarching essential questions for the civic engagement project. Connects really nicely with the portrait of a graduate that you've all seen. Students have met with various professionals in different fields. Dr. Edwards, they've met with her about education reform. Ted McIntyre, who's a physicist and climate change activist, students have met with him. They've met with an animal control officer in Franklin, the head of the water department in Franklin, the head of the DPW. And these are some of the civic engagement topics that they're working on. You can also see, Joyce, I'm going to use one of your words, how robust the teachers are doing in terms of getting this project up and running. I'm just showing you a classwork page right here from Mr. Mello's Google Classroom page, and you can see just how he's scaffolded it. You know, if you have more time to look at this, you might be able to see more closely, but he's providing resources for their projects, for their research. If I zoom all the way up here, they are now working on their proposals for their civic engagement project. And the other wonderful thing about this too is he's using, him and Mr. Anthony are using Keys to Literacy Strategies. They have a writing assignment guide up and running for the civic engagement project as well. So that's where the students are at right now with that project. Very excited to have that happening at our schools, not just Annie Sullivan, all three middle schools. Mm-hmm.
And our peer leader facilitations are continuing this year. Last week, our eighth grade peer leaders through our World of Difference club started teaching lessons to our sixth graders. And our peer leaders, which is an after school club, they've been working to prepare thoughtful lessons, structuring conversations, and really focusing on the goal of creating a community where all are welcome. And they establish ground rules in these lessons. They take them through icebreaker activities, team building activities, and some interactive lessons. Due to the closure in the spring, last year sixth graders did not participate in these lessons, so we will be, our peer leaders will also be teaching the seventh graders this year. And we hope to have about 4 to 5 lessons with each grade in each class by the end of the year, which again supports the social emotional learning and Portrait of a Graduate, making those connections and thinking kind of outside their typical classroom experience.
Another visit we had that we want to highlight was our author visit. This again happened across all three middle schools, really spearheaded by the reading specialist. You can see Mr. Moriarty there on the Google Meet when we had the author visit. And similar to this, again, this was able to happen for both groups of students simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Mr. Sonnenbleck visited us and shared his journey toward becoming an author. And Mr. Moriarty also leveraged our morning announcements to hype up this visit for several weeks prior to the visit. That, I think, was really effective in building that student engagement. It was just wonderful to see the students share their reactions to the books they've read. We had student guests come on to the morning announcements and basically advertise his books, but from their perspective. And then we had workshops, breakout workshops, where the students were able to engage with Mr. Sonnenblick. And I remember Mr. Moriarty commenting on how amazing it was to see students courageously share their writing and connect with each other. So that was another significant highlight from this year.
We're continuing on with Spirit Days as much as we can, asking virtual families to send selfies and pictures in, just a way to increase that sense of community and culture and give the students something to look forward to. And I think we all enjoy the occasional pajama day as well.
Mm-hmm. And then lunch and mass breaks. Lunch is a 45-minute period. So there's some significant downtime there, but our teachers have done a fabulous job bringing the students outside. They really crave it. That's been a silver lining to this time, is they've really gotten more time outside, even when it's snowing, or when there's snow on the ground, or when it's cold, students really want to get outside. In terms of mask breaks, we found that the students over time have really gotten used to their masks. So there's been less need for like dedicated mask breaks, but we still do have a couple different systems to facilitate that. But I think this time has been crucial for students.
Yeah. And during our flex block, which at Annie Sullivan is the last period every day, we are highlighting here our music classes. So the farthest left two pictures is actually chorus, or our choir rehearsing. And instead of singing, because there are still restrictions, they're really doing a lot with rhythm and music study. When they're able to go outside, they can sing there. But for now, this is a really creative way to still engage with that curriculum. In the middle, we are excited with the new guidelines that have come out and the additional PPE that's been ordered. Our music teachers have been very creative about allowing students to play in person, spread out, following all of the guidelines as well. And then on the right, you see two pictures from our orchestra as they're rehearsing, and they've been playing in person for a while now.
And here we are at dismissal, not arrival. And this is, a nice time of the day as well. We have some dots spread out to keep distancing, and the kids have been, it's like a routine they know, like the back of their hands. And we get to interact with them, say goodbye, and send them off to their homes.
Yes, and we definitely stole that idea from Keller Elementary School. That was a genius idea that they had. So it's worked for both both dismissals. We're continuing to offer after-school clubs. About 20% of our students are participating in at least one club. Some are participating in multiple, Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. We are very thankful for our teachers offering these opportunities for students to continue to interact with one another. And they're able to engage with students across all three middle schools. Our Kindness Club recently participated in the Great Kindness Challenge, and we are a Kindness Certified School. So very proud of that, and thanks to our advisors and students for participating in that. And that is a day at Annie Sullivan. So looking forward to hearing your questions or feedback.
Sure. Let me just go through the committee. Let me start. Jen, questions, comments, follow-up? I'll go through the committee.
I am all set. Thank you.
Okay, Jen. Tim?
I think the first major question I have is I'd like to get the dip recipe that was referenced in the discussion. It sounded like a must-have. And I don't have other questions, but I do want to thank everyone. I thought that presentation was awesome. And just thank everyone involved, all the educators, administrators that have been involved in helping to create these educational experiences that are trying to make the best of the situation that are in, that we're currently in, and needing to kind of create something that works for both those who are at home and those who are in the classroom at the same time. It was just, it was great, great to see that. So thank you very much for everyone.
Thanks, Tim. Judy?
Great presentation. And when somebody has a chance in the future, if we could get more information on the Kindness Club.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. I can send that to you.
Thank you.
MJ?
I have no questions. Thank you for the presentation.
Okay, MJ. Denise?
Thank you again. Everyone's already said it, so thank you.
You got it. Elise?
I just want to say thank you, and I'm always loving the pictures and visuals. I know people hate hearing their own voice on a video, but it does help us understand. And so thank you for sharing that with us. It was great to see.
Excellent. Yeah, right. I just wanted to thank Lizzie and Mike, and we know how hard this has been, and you guys are so positive, and you really, tonight, you really captured the essence of middle school, and you did a great job, so we're greatly appreciative. Keep up the good work. Thank you again, both of you.
Thank you all.
And thank your staff. Thank the staff, too, because you can see how hard they're all working. Okay, thanks.
This is Steve Sherlock on another Franklin Matters radio show, number 458 in the series. Number 459 in the series. Number 460 in the series. This session shares the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, February 9, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a virtual format. All of the school committee members, central office personnel, along with the public, were remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the just over 2 hour and 20 minute meeting into three logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the Annie Sullivan presentation, approximately 41 minutes. The second, covering the discussion action items, specifically referred to the Davis Thayer closing discussion and vote, approximately 43 minutes. The third, from the discussion only items through to the end of the meeting, approximately 59 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder will hold all the other documents released for this meeting. And note, as we go to press, the superintendent's report nor the pool testing outline are yet posted to the school's website. We anticipate that to be soon, but it's not here as we go to press. Let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting of February 9, 2021.